Good Wednesday evening to our Central Baptist Church family and viewers as well. Today is actually July the 29th, a Wednesday evening. We're going to be continuing our Wednesday evening Bible study here shortly, looking at not being ashamed of the gospel of Christ. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn over with me, if you would, to the book of Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 is where we'll be studying tonight. If you don't have your Bible with you, you can always reach up there and hit pause, grab it there for the time that we're going to have this Bible study. Join us, please do. We'd love to have you be a part of our Bible study this evening. As you find that particular passage, once again, that's Romans chapter 1. Just a reminder for our church family as well as our viewers that this coming Sunday we will be actually observing communion or the Lord's Supper. For those who will be meeting with us on campus, we actually have the hermetically sealed communion wafer and cup. We'll be passing those out when you arrive on campus. If you're not getting out yet due to the virus, or if you're joining us from some other remote location, just have you a little something on hand to be able to use as your elements of the bread and the cup, so that you can join us this coming Sunday as we have the opportunity and take the opportunity to gather around the Lord's table. This evening we're going to look at Romans chapter 1 and Paul as he writes to those in Rome. Learn a little bit about what he was talking about, and the whole idea of this is not being ashamed of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Look with me, if you would, at Romans chapter 1. We're going to begin reading with verse 8. Romans chapter 1, beginning with verse 8. It says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by some means now at last I may find in the will of God to come to you." Verse 11, "For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me." Verse 13, "Now I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor, both to the Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jews first, and also for the Greeks. For in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity to gather around your word. And Lord, we also are so grateful today for the fact that we are saved by grace. And Lord, you want us to be able to express that faith. You want us to be able to carry the gospel message to a lost and dying world wherever we may go. Lord, I'm thankful for those tonight who are joining us by the way of technology, by electronic means, that we will gather around your word. Lord, your word says where two or three are gathered together, there you are in the midst. So Lord, we know that you're with us here. We pray that you'll lead us, guide us, use me as your messenger. And Lord, may you speak to each and every heart of every hearer as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. As I was reading this passage, and one of the things I was thinking about is that how many times has there been a place that you have thought of that you would like to go? Maybe you could get that in your mind right now, where you're thinking of some place that you have always wanted to go for whatever reason. I mean, so you don't always have to make this so spiritual. Maybe there was a place that you saw on television or in a magazine that you said, "Man, I really would like to go to that particular place," but there was something that hindered you from going. I know for maybe a lot of us, it's finances. You know, this place I'd like to go, I'd like to go and see Hawaii again, but that's a little bit of a hindrance based on the cost of doing that. But whatever the reason may be, you were not able to actually go to that place. Now, when we begin to look at this particular situation with Paul, Paul is expressing to the people at Rome how he had often wanted to be with them. It said that he had been hindered. There's a great lesson, even a message that comes out of that particular verse could preach in light of the fact that God's timing is perfect. God will lead and direct our paths each and every day of our lives. God has a plan and he has a purpose and he also has a place. So, you know, there are times in our lives that we may say, well, I sure would like to go and visit this place, or I would like to be there. If it's in God's will, eventually you're going to get there. But God has a plan for you and he has a place for you where you are, even as we speak. That includes today. That even includes across town. It may not be some exotic place that you may want to go, that you've never been able to go. But through it all, God has a plan, and he will get you to where it is that he wants you to be and where he needs you to be in regard to being a witness for him. So in our text today, in Romans chapter 1, Paul has had this great desire to actually go to Rome. And he explains to him that he had been prevented from being there, but he was thankful to God, and he was thankful to those Roman believers. Now, look with me at verse 8, and he says why. He says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. In other words, what was going on was, even in the midst of some terrible persecution that was taking place in Rome to the Christians, their influence for the gospel message, their influence for Christ, had spread throughout the world. And in other words, they were kind of heavy hitters in regard of the spread of the gospel. And Paul wanted to be a part of that. I mean, how many times along the way, maybe in your spiritual walk, have you seen God do some really incredible things in some places, and you thought, man, I really would like to be a part of that. I would like to go and be, you know, where some great things of the Lord are taking place. I like what it was, I believe it was Henry Blackaby in his book about experiencing God, gave us the tip, which is a great tip. He says, find where God is working and go join him there. Too often what we do is we get to the point where we're asking God to bless what it is that we're doing, where all the while God is saying to us, I want you to forget where you are and I want you to be where I want you to be, because right here is where I'm doing some great things. Would you come and join me along the way in the great things that I'm doing? Is the Lord stating that in your life right now? Yeah, I think sometimes we get to the point where we think that this is the way we've got to do things. Through this pandemic, we have found out that has been completely shaken, that has been completely changed, and we've had to do so many things so different than we've ever done them. What we're looking for is the place where God is working so that we can join him. And in this particular passage, God knows, or Paul knows, that God is doing some great and incredible things through the Roman people, through the Roman witness. Look at it once again, verse 8, it says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. So they're seeing some incredible, incredible things take place. And then he goes on, and because of this, Paul had a burden. I've always said that I think some of the greatest things, or the greatest things that God does, always begin with a burden for you. Yeah, what kind of people do you have a burden for? Do you have a burden for your family in regard to knowing and walking with our Lord? Do you have a burden for your community? Do you have a burden for even those that are in your church? Do you have a burden for a people? That's one of the things that with our missions teams that has been such a blessing to see, is the burden that our mission team leaders have for the areas and the places of where they serve. Miss Bev has a burden for the homeless downtown and therefore leads that ministry. Tony has that burden for the people of Cuba, and therefore we have a team that goes there every year. David Miller for the folks in Wyoming and the children there that need to hear the gospel, and through the camp up there is one of the ways that they do that. Lynn's heart and having that passion and burden for the people of Canada produces a team that goes up there on an annual basis. Now, we're praying that those things will continue to take place, because with the current situation, we don't know. But there's a burden. Let me ask you, what do you have a burden for today? Do you have a burden for people, or for a situation, or for a place, in the same manner that Paul had for the people at Rome? In fact, that burden led him to do something else. In verse 9, He says, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by some means now, that at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you." Paul is saying, "I've been wanting to be there for a long time because of my passion and my heart and my burden. I have been hindered." And he is asking, he is praying, and it says how he's praying. He's not just throwing a prayer up there, and every so often when he thinks about it, he says, and by the way, Lord, remember the people of Rome, and I would love to be able to go and minister there. No, it says without ceasing. The Lord tells us that we are to pray without ceasing, meaning nonstop, day in, day out, moment by moment. When you have a passion and when you have a burden for someone, that wells up into your heart to where you can't get them off of your mind. And as that takes place, pray for those people. Pray for those families. Pray for that place. Pray for whatever it may be, and do so without ceasing. So Paul has kind of laid his case out to the Romans, saying, man, Rome is a happening place. It's a place that I want to go. And it wasn't because it was safe. No, it wasn't safe at all. It was because he was seeing great things of God being done there. There was great testimony that was actually coming out to Rome. But Paul had some other marching orders as well. He was the one who was preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. So therefore, he had been hindered in being able to go to Rome. In verse 11, he says, "For I long to see you." Now, this is really interesting. Verse 11, "For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith of both you and me." And you know what Paul is saying there? He said, "I really want to bring my gifts to you. I really want to bring what God has given me into your presence so that not only I will be a blessing to you, but that I could receive the benefit of your spiritual gifts so that you can be a blessing to me." So what a great, great mutual thing. Folks, listen, the church today is supposed to follow this same manner. We're supposed to come together as a body of Christ and exercise our spiritual gifts. Let me ask you today, do you know what your spiritual gifts are? I know that God put me on this planet to preach the gospel message. That's what he has called me to do. That's where my joy, that's where my fulfillment comes. He has given me the place called Central Baptist Church by which to do that. But you know, being a church member, being a believer and part of a body of Christ isn't just about all of what you can receive. It's also about what you can give. What are your spiritual gifts? What do you bring to the body that we call Central Baptist Church? What do you bring to the community? What do you bring to the mission teams? Because God has empowered you with something. For everyone, he has given each and every one of us at least one gift that we can use for his honor and for his glory among his people. And man, what a joy it is when we come together and we have those opportunities to do that. So Paul's saying, "I really want to come to you in Rome so that I can exercise my gift of sharing the gospel. But not only that, I want to encourage you, but I want you to be encouraged by me, and I as well want to be encouraged by you." Look at the latter part, or actually it's verse 12. It says, he tells the reason why he really wants to be there. Verse 12 says, "That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me." In other words, he's saying it's about coming around the gospel message, the cause for which we gather. You know what? We gather together as a body called Central Baptist Church, but what is our purpose? Why do we do that? That we might draw close to him, that we might hear the word of God, that the gospel may, in effect, change us as well as those around us. But folks, let me tell you today, church is not something that is a spectator ordeal. It should be a participator deal. I want to encourage you this evening. Know what your spiritual gifts are. If you don't know what they are, please take the opportunity to contact us at the church office. Let us help you determine what those gifts are, and let us help you find a way that you could be able to put those into use in the body of Christ where God has you serving right now. So Paul is telling them why he wants to come. You know, he's saying not just that I could preach to you, but that I might also benefit from your experiences and as you exercise your gifts. Now, verse 13, he says, Now, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. Yeah, it was one of those things where Paul said, that's where I want to be, but God had led him to different places. Even though he still longed to be there, even though he is still explaining that to them, he is saying, I know that God is working in Rome, and I want to be a part of it. I want to do what God has empowered me to do, what God has gifted me to do, and I want a little slice of that pie that's a witness that's being known worldwide, as we read about earlier. So Paul's pretty excited about having that opportunity to be able to go to Rome. Verse 14, he says, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, but to wise and to unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. That's verse 15. He says, now it seems that God is allowing me this time to be able to go to Rome. He says, I'm ready to come to you. I am ready to preach the gospel. I am ready to exercise the spiritual gift which God has given me among you. Verse 16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, for the Jews first, then also for the Greeks. Now, I want us to pause right here for just a moment, because there's something very significant about that particular verse where he says in verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now, I want us to think for just a moment, maybe the Holy Spirit's already tugged at your heartstrings about something, but has there ever been a time in your life when you have been ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Now, it's really easy when we sit among fellow believers, it's really easy when we're sitting in church to be a professor of Jesus Christ, that we confess him out there because we're of like mind, we're there together. It's a little bit tougher when you get out in places where there is open persecution, where there's places where people do not adhere to the principles of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And let me ask you, has there been a time where you have ever been ashamed of the gospel? Now, what does that mean? Has there ever been that time where you have been somewhere where you didn't necessarily want somebody to know that you were a born-again believer? Maybe you found yourself in a crowd that you knew without any shadow of a doubt were folks that were unbelievers. Why? Maybe because of their actions, what they were doing, what was taking place, their testimony, what all was involved with it, and you really, really felt out of place. Well, good, I'm glad that you did, because the Holy Spirit put on your heart that those activities and the things that were taking place around you were not things that were pleasing to God, and he didn't want you to be a part of them, so therefore you were uncomfortable. But what did you do when you felt that discomfort of the Holy Spirit's conviction in your life? Did you make a stand for Jesus, or did you just simply walk away without there being any spoken word of testimony? Granted, there is an unspoken word of testimony. Just leaving the scene is an unspoken testimony for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But did you stand, or were you ashamed? Were you ashamed to profess? Did the peer pressure get to the point in your life that you knew you probably should have spoken up, but you didn't? Were you ashamed of the gospel? Paul is saying, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Now, he's not just saying that the power of the gospel is unto salvation, because it is. But Paul also expresses, and this is still true to this very day, but it is the gospel that empowers us to live in a way that is pleasing to our Lord and Savior on a daily basis. It is the power of the gospel message, not only that saves us, but also sustains us. It is the power of his message by which we live. So when we begin to think about those particular aspects of it, you know, it's not just a one and done thing. When you ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart, when you ask him to save your soul, that's not just the end of salvation. That is just the beginning. At that point, you become empowered with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit becomes your teacher. It is the gospel message by which we live our lives. This is what empowers us and gives us strength to stand to stand boldly where others won't. Yeah, I've often thought about this. I've thought about this in my own life when I've had the circumstance to be in a place like Cuba, where there is open persecution, where there is this opportunity that you could go to jail even for professing your faith. And sometimes people sit back and say, well, how is it that you can do that, man? Are you scared to do that? Folks, in all honesty, when put in that particular situation, a true born-again believer is actually empowered by that situation. I have seen Christians under persecution live their beliefs in Jesus Christ out louder, bolder, in a more vocal way than I have seen when there's not persecution. I've known that myself. One time our translator, Jose, said, by the way, do you realize that if somebody should show up from the government, you could be arrested for what you're about to do? Does that hinder you? And I thought just for a moment about it, and I said, no, actually, it made me want to preach the gospel even so much more. So folks, let me encourage you today. I know that that was what Paul was wanting to do with the people at Rome. I want to do the same thing with you today. Exercise your gifts. Exercise it. Be a part of receiving the gifts of others as we come together, and know that there's a significance to what God has given you. What God has given you, the body of believers needs. And you might even be the only person that can provide what it is that God needs in that moment and in that time. You know, there's another thing that he's going on to say. Let me go back to verse 16. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, that's what we were talking about just a moment ago. The just shall live by faith. So it is the power of the gospel that not only saves us, but sustains us as well. Are we living in the power of the gospel? That's a question for us today. Are we exercising those gifts? Are we being an encouragement to those that are around us? You know, some of you today may be able to sit back and say, you know, I've never been ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I have always openly professed that. Here's something that you probably know if you're that person. And if you're not that person, I want to encourage you today that when you have the opportunity to share your faith, when you have the opportunity to express that the gifts and the talents that God has given you are from Him and they're not from you, here's something that we need to understand. I used to struggle with this when I was very young in my ministry, because there were times in my heart I knew God had convicted me to share a particular message, or maybe to share with a particular person the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And when they didn't receive Him as Savior, it kind of made me sad. It made me feel like I had failed our Lord and Savior, because that person didn't come to that saving knowledge of Christ. There have been times when I have tried to exercise my gifts in the way that could be helpful to somebody's life, and they didn't heed the spiritual advice that was given, and I felt like I had failed once again. Yeah, I was taking ownership and responsibility for that failure. But here's what I want you to understand. When it comes to sharing the gospel, God does not hold us accountable for the results. He holds us accountable for being obedient to follow His will. When He says to me, Roy, I've called you to go out and preach the gospel, the results aren't up to me. The results are up to Him. The results are of the gospel message, because it takes the conviction of the Holy Spirit to move a life. Roy can't change anybody. Only God can, as you surrender to Him. And Paul was sitting there saying, I want to exercise these gifts. I want to be a part of the exciting things that are taking place in Rome. And he was really joyous in doing that. Folks, I want to encourage you today, in the midst of where you are around you, whether it's in your church, whether it's in your family, in your community, I want to encourage you to find out where God is working and join Him there. Take your spiritual gifts. God's got a time, He's got a place, and He's going to lead you exactly where He wants you to be of service for Him. And it will be a place that will fulfill you. Most of the time, I'm going to go ahead and say all the time, that begins with a burden and a passion. I want to challenge you today to determine, where is your burden? Because your burden will lead to your passion, and your passion and burden will lead you to where God wants you to serve Him. What a joy it will be when we find that place. Just like Paul, he said, I haven't been able to make it to you in Rome, but man, I'm excited. I'm getting to come now. Through the providential will of our Father, I'm going to make it. I'm going to get to be there. I'm going to get to preach. I'm looking forward to it. My prayers that my preaching will encourage you, but I'm also praying that I will be encouraged from you as well. Folks, that is my prayer to our Central Baptist family as well as our viewers. I pray that I'm encouraging to you today through the Word of God, but I'm also praying that your gifts will be an encouragement to me. I know they have. People that I get to see that are on campus and move around and about, I see you exercise your gifts, and what a joy it really, really is in my life to see you exercise those gifts. Listen, I want to thank you for joining us today. In just a moment, I'm going to have a word of prayer. I want to also remind folks that if you're out there, you're part of our viewing audience, and you're not able to make it on campus, please take the opportunity to support the ministries of Central Baptist Church. You can do that by way of prayer as well as giving. Please pray for us. If you're not or can't support us financially, please pray for us as we diligently seek to get the word of our Lord and Savior out to a lost and dying world in our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and our uttermost parts of the world. You can help us by going to our website, which is www.oakridgecbc.org. There's a giving tab there. You can click that. You can give in any amount. God will bless you for it, and you will be a part of keeping the gospel going throughout the world. And we thank you for that, and God will bless you as well. So we want to remind you of that. I also want to remind you that Sunday, this coming Sunday, we will be taking communion on campus. If you're there, we will provide the hermetically sealed communion cups for you. If you're going to be joining us at home, please have some elements together. You can get some juice, you can get a cracker, wafer, a piece of bread, whatever. But we want to encourage you to join us as we gather around the Lord's table and observe the Lord's Supper this coming Sunday morning. Let me, before I pray, give you what your scripture readings for this week are as we continue our discipleship study on Wednesday evenings. Go ahead, you can start today, but your next five chapters will begin at Romans chapter 4. So Romans chapter 4 through Romans chapter 8. Those are the passages that we'll be reading for this week. Romans chapter 4 through Romans chapter 8. And next Wednesday evening, we will be looking at peace with God, the passage that will come out of Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. We encourage you to join us. Come on back. We love you. Let me dismiss us in a word of prayer. I pray that God's going to bless your family and bless you in a special way for having joined us at this Wednesday evening Bible study today. Let's pray together. Father, you're good to us. We love you. We thank you so much for all of the provision that you provide in our lives. Lord, you are our maker. You're our creator. You're our sustainer. You're our provider. So Lord, even in the midst of this pandemic and even in the midst of fear that is taking place with a lot of folks, may we turn to you and be able to do so with comfort. Father, for those that will reach out to us in a way of praying for our ministry at the church, for those that will be giving to our church, I pray that you will just give them a double blessing. Watch over them and their family. Lord, bless them in an extra special way for their obedience to you in regard to the support of your work. Lord, I pray right now that you will truly help us identify what our burden is, that we might have a passion, that we might identify our spiritual gifts and put them to use for you in our families, in our communities, in our schools, in the body of Christ, wherever we may be, that we truly, like Paul, will be able to say, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel," and that we realize that it truly is the power by which we live. Lord, I pray you'll give us a great, great week. Until we have the opportunity to meet again, bless each and every brother and sister in a special way as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We look forward to seeing you on Sunday.